Last week, we began a new series based on Hebrews 12 and Hebrews 11. Hebrews 12 tells us, based on what was written in Hebrews 11, which is why I'm starting with 12, and then we'll work our way backwards. In Hebrews 12, the writer, by the way, we're not sure who the writer was. We're not sure. Some people think it was the Apostle Paul. It's very different writing, very different vocabulary and grammar than Paul uses in the original. Some believe it might be Epaphroditus, or maybe even Priscilla, from not this Priscilla whose birthday is today, but Priscilla from Priscilla and Aquila. We don't know for sure who wrote this book, but in Hebrews 12, the writer, whomever he or she might be, says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Isn't that wonderful? We are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses in heaven. Men and women of God who've gone before us, who are cheering us on as we run this race of life in Christ. Now, we have a responsibility. First of all, we need to run the race. Secondly, we need to take off that which can trip us up. A runner does not run in army boots. A runner does not run with heavy clothing on. Actually, in the Greek world, they ran naked, or naked for those of us from the civilized north, ran naked. And it was to keep anything hindering. And what hinders us is not our dress and not our clothes, but what can hinder us in the race for Jesus is sin. It's like, if you will, going the wrong way on a one-way street. You're not going to win the race going the wrong way. And we keep our eye on the finish line. And there, standing there, the number one person cheering us on is the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep our eyes on Him, the author, the pioneer, the perfecter, the finisher, the one who already crossed the finish line and won that race. So when you read in Hebrews 12, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," you need to ask yourself, as I said last week, by the way, if you missed the message last week, you can find the recording on our church website, fbcrandolph.net. There's a listen tab, and we've got the sermons from the sermon from last week on there. But the "therefore" is there for a reason. It's there. The "therefore" is there for this reason, what was said before. And in Hebrews 11, we have this wonderful chapter that starts with, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for." The race we run is a race run by faith. Total trust in God. And then in Hebrews 11, the writer there gives us this hall of fame, if you will, this hall of faith of men and women who are in that great cloud of witnesses cheering us on as we run this race of faith. And last week we focused on the first person that's listed there in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. Now, Abel wasn't here last week, but Cain was. And Cain told his very sad story. But he also told us what Abel would have said if he were here. Look at the passage that we're going to look at today from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. And we'll see if our guest will show up today. Hebrews 11, verse 5. "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away." Wow, wouldn't you like to hear his story? One of the two men in all of recorded history who never, ever experienced physical death. Wouldn't you like to hear his story? I would too. I'm eager to hear it because I really didn't prepare anything assuming he'd be here. Enoch, are you here? I think he is. Wait for me. I'm coming, especially you. Radio, not good to have silence on the radio. It's a tough costume. I, too, am a member of the great cloud of witnesses. But in addition to that, I am a very unique individual on this planet. I never experienced death. I know. Hard to believe. I had a pretty interesting life. I was the seventh generation from Adam. My father, Jared, no, not that Jared. My father, Jared, did experience death. But he lived to a ripe old age of 962. When I was 65, just a young man, I had a son. I named him Methuselah. Now, I know what you're thinking. What an odd name. Well, the name was actually my wife's idea. That was a joke. Thank you. I had other sons and daughters, but Methuselah was the most famous of my children. Why? He lived the longest of anyone in recorded history. Methuselah lived, believe it or not, Methuselah lived 969 years. He beat my dad by 7 years. Well, when I was 360 years old, a kid in those days, something very strange happened. I think it was on a Thursday. I was going through my normal routines, feeding the sheep, checking in on the kids, changing the oil in my car. And all of a sudden, I was in the presence of God. He snatched me away. I know. I could barely believe it myself. You may ask, why did God do that? I'm sure my family was asking that too. Well, it's because I walked faithfully with him. You see, walking faithfully with God really pleases him. A good friend of mine said, I think he wrote this book called Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Well, I was one who diligently sought God. Now let me get back to the reason why God snatched me from this planet. I walked with God. Now, you need to remember, this wasn't as easy in my day as it is in your day. There were no churches. There were no Bibles. There were no missionaries. There were no preachers or pastors. Walking with God in my day, and I think it really means this in your day too, walking with God meant that I was totally devoted to live a life of faith. A life of complete reliance on God. Walking with God meant that I had an intimate relationship with him. Now, my ancestor Adam, he walked with God in a garden every evening. But when he and Eve rebelled against God, as I think Cain told you last week, when he and Eve rebelled against God, that relationship was never the same again. They were expelled from that beautiful garden. Sin entered the world. You see, most people living on this planet, even in 2018, I hear. Most people living on this planet have no desire to please God. Sad, but true. But it was different. It was different with me. From an early age, I had a desire to have a relationship with the God who walked with my great, 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 great grandfather, Adam. So I searched for him, and I found him. I began my walks with him from the days of my youth. I enjoyed our conversations. I loved listening to his voice. He invited me to share my life with him. And this was the delight of my soul. You see, my friends, God was pleased with me because of my faith, because of my trust and my reliance upon him. Sin had polluted our world. But there is a God of grace who still wants us to walk with him. And that walk is the walk of faith. I lived in a world that was quickly being tarnished by sin and rebellion. But God's Spirit was at work in my heart. He is the one who gives the gift of faith, by the way. You can't get it yourself. He is the one who gives the gift of faith to his daughters and sons. So, my friends, if you want to please God, you must accept his gift of faith. To accept his gift of faith means you need to turn from your propensity towards sinfulness and selfishness. The Bible calls this repentance. Repentance is a gift from God too. You see, we cannot turn ourselves around on our own. Many people try on their own, and all of them fail. If we're to walk with God, we need to stop walking away from God. Did you catch that? If we want to walk with God, we need to stop walking away from God. That's what repentance is, changing our direction. That's what we need to do to follow him. And brothers and sisters, this is what pleases him. Now, God will most likely not take you, snatch you away when you turn 300 years old. Anybody here 300? Okay, don't worry yet. No, you look good. You look good for 300. You look good for 300. Your pastor looks like an old geezer to me. God probably won't take you away when you turn 300 like he did with me. But he does want to give you his gift of faith. He does want to give you the gift of faith. You can walk with God just like I did. You can make your life goal to please him just like I did. Yes, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, you can walk with him and live a life pleasing to him. Now, I know some people try and please God by their works. They think God is pleased by actions. If I just do this, God will be pleased with me, some think to themselves. If I try a little harder, maybe God will accept me and walk with me. Take it from me. Take it from someone who walked with God. That's why he snatched me up into his presence. It is faith that makes the difference. It is faith that makes the difference. Faith, that gift from God, demonstrated by a life that lives in total reliance, in total dependence upon him. Now, God rewards the person of faith. It's true. I know. God rewards the person of faith who diligently seeks him. Now, your reward, I'm guessing, will probably be different than my reward. I'm guessing that most of you in this room won't make it to 300. Sorry about that. won't be snatched away into the presence of God on your 300th birthday. I'm guessing that most of you might experience physical death. Now, I did not have that experience. But like me, if you have faith, if you have faith and seek the Creator and the Deliverer, you will also spend eternity in the presence of God. You will also spend eternity in the presence of God. You see, I learned to trust God completely. That's why I'm included in this great cloud of witnesses, in this hall of faith. You too can trust God completely. You might be asking a question by now. How do I do that? How do I walk by faith? How do I trust God completely? Well, first of all, you need to seek Him diligently. You need to seek Him diligently. Maybe you're listening to me this morning. I hear I'm on Facebook. I'm not sure what that is. I hear I'm on the radio. I don't know what that is either. But I'm also here with people in this room. I know what this is, talking to you. But maybe someone listening, either in this room or whatever this Facebook thing is or whatever this radio thing is, I think there's a podcast too. I don't know what that is. But maybe you're listening this morning and you're not a believer. You're not sure if you want to cross the line into faith. But being a reasonable person, you probably want to know the truth. I think reasonable people want to know the truth, don't you? They want to know the truth. You might start simply by seeking God. Your first prayer might sound something like this if you're a seeker. Lord, I don't even know if you're there. But if you are, I'm searching for you. Please, if you're there, reveal yourself to me. I think that would be a good prayer. A good first prayer for anyone here or listening to me who does not believe. How might God reveal Himself to you? Well, through different means. Some find God when a friend shares the good news. Some read the Bible and the Holy Spirit Himself speaks to their hearts. You might find God even today because of my story and the stories of my other friends, like Cain told you Abel's story last week. I believe next week, your pastor told me that next week, Noah is going to be here. Wow. I wonder what he looks like. I think he looks a lot like me. You need to seek God diligently. Wait till you see Sarah when she shows up in a few weeks. Whoa, she's going to be some beautiful woman. It's true. It's true. She's going to be here in a few weeks. First, you need to seek God diligently. Second, you need to believe that God's Son came to be your Savior. You need to believe that. You need to trust that His work on the cross was the price that needs to be paid for your rebellion. You need to believe that He rose from the dead. You might be saying, Enoch, how do you know that? Jesus was after your time. Remember, He snatched me into heaven when I was 300. I'm part of this great crowd of witnesses. I've seen everything that's been going on. From everything, you know, Bethlehem, Calvary, the resurrection. I've been watching you guys running the race too. Jared, pick up the pace. Third, you need to change your direction. You need to change your direction. Instead of going your way, you need to go His way. Instead of being self-centered, you need to seek Him diligently. After all, isn't that what it means to seek first the kingdom of God? Put aside your own needs. Seek Him diligently. He promises that if you seek Him, you will what? You will find Him. If you seek Him, you will find Him. Then you live to please Him. You walk by His grace. In other words, you follow Him. Fourth, you need to follow Him. You need to walk with Him. It's not about rituals and rites. I lived before temples, synagogues, mosques, and churches and cathedrals. I simply had a relationship with my Lord. I've heard that Jesus called those first disciples with a simple phrase. A simple phrase that he's still using today. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. Have any of you said yes? Have any of you said this yet? Yes, Lord. I will follow you. Your pastor told me in an email, whatever that is, that you're going to have a baptism service next week. That's when people will stand in that pool, heated, I understand, and said, tell you that they've decided to follow Jesus, that they've heard his call to follow him, and they said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. Unlike me, God's son experienced death. You know that, right? I never experienced death. Unlike me, God's son experienced death. An awful death. The one with whom I walked so many millennia ago came and lived a sinful life so he could pay the penalty, a death penalty for your sins and my sins. Unlike me, he rose from the dead. I escaped death, but he conquered death. You catch that? I escaped death, but he conquered death. Now he's calling some of you to follow him. Will you answer that call? Will you answer that call? I hope so. I'd like you to join me in the presence of God. Let me conclude my time with a mystery. Some people believe that the reason God kept me from the experience of death is because I will be one of the two witnesses before the second coming. Cool, huh? Some believe the other witness will be Elijah, the other man in Scripture who never experienced death. I always like to tell Elijah, I'm the first. You were second. Some people believe it might be Moses, because the other witness, that is, because he also walked closely with God. And although he died, I think he's going to be here too. Although he died, God buried him. Well, I'm not going to tell you whether or not I'm one of those witnesses. Why not? Well, it's kind of a mystery. You'll have to wait and see. What I can tell you is this. If you want to be ready for the second coming of our Lord, you need to remember what little is written about my life. There's not much written about me. You need to remember what little is written about my life. I walked with God. That's basically it. I walked with God. This walk was based on the gift of faith he gave me. He enabled me to trust him completely. I had to turn from my old ways in which I used to walk and seek God with all my heart. Then I was rewarded by being taken into his presence when I was 300 years old. One day, if you follow the Lord Jesus, are you listening to me? Still awake? One day, if you follow the Lord Jesus, you too will be taken into his presence. Perhaps you'll be alive when he comes again. Be snatched in the air just like I was. Or perhaps you'll be like my friend Moses, who took his last breath and then entered into the presence of God. What did we have in common? Moses and I, what did we have in common? Well, it wasn't the experience of death. He died. I didn't. It was the fact that we lived by faith. We walked with God. We sought to please him by his grace. And I trust you will learn from my life of faith. Listen to me, my friends. May I call you friends? Okay. Listen to me, my friends. After all, why would you ignore the counsel of someone who never experienced physical death? Amen? Well, thank you, Enoch. You're a handsome devil. I mean, not devil, angel. What did Enoch teach us to do? What did Enoch teach us to do? That was a rhetorical question. Like everyone in Hebrews 11, my friends. May I call you friends too?
Yes.
Some of you said yes. Like every person in this great cloud of witnesses, this hall of faith, every single one of them is going to start with this. Cain told us Abel would tell you this. I'm guessing Noah will tell you this next week. Even Sarah, beautiful Sarah, will tell you this in a few weeks. You need to trust God completely. We need to trust God completely. It's not about what we do. We run the race by faith. God gives us the ability to run that race. You and I need to trust God completely. That's what Enoch is telling us, even as Abel would tell us. And then we need to change your direction. Enoch was not taken into the presence of God because he was sinless. Remember, he was a descendant of the seventh generation from Adam. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Enoch was not taken into the presence of God because he was sinless. He was taken into the presence of God because he sought God diligently. He changed his direction, first of all. Obviously, Cain sinned. Enoch repented. We're going to meet others who lived in a just as sinful a generation of ours. Without the Bible, without churches, without preachers. People like Enoch and Noah and Abraham, who trusted God completely and must have changed their direction, because we're all born in sin. And unless God gives us the ability to turn to him, we're going the wrong way on a one-way street. And then we need to seek him diligently. We need to seek him diligently. You see, we can't do this on our own. Enoch must have practiced what the writer of Hebrews says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who believe that he exists, who seek him diligently, will be rewarded for their faith. You can't get a better reward than Enoch had, can you? He was taken into the presence of God because he sought him diligently. But guess what? You and I might experience death. I'm guessing all of us will, unless Jesus comes while we're still breathing, but we will still be in the presence of God. Are you seeking God diligently? That's what Enoch would say to you. And finally, you need to walk in his grace. Very little written about Enoch, as he himself admitted. It basically says he walked with God and he was not. That's the way the King James puts it. He walked with God and he was not. Wow. He walked in God's grace. How unusual in a world that was quickly being polluted by sin, as Noah will, I'm sure if he shows up, as Noah will tell you next week, a world becoming more and more vile. You think our world is vile? Shortly after Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, this world quickly turned south. But Enoch walked by his grace. Will you walk in his grace? Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're one of those non-believers who would simply say, Lord, I'm not sure, like Enoch, encourage you to pray. I'm not sure if you're even there, but if you are, reveal yourself to me. Then trust him to do that. Maybe God is speaking to your heart right now, whether you're here in this room or you're on the Facebook. I know what Facebook is. Ha ha, Enoch. Or listening to the radio. You're ready to trust God. You're ready to change your direction. You're ready to walk in his grace. Why not right now say, Lord Jesus, I hear you calling me to follow you. And I will say right now, on this winter-like day, yes, Lord, I will follow you. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe he rose from the grave, and I will follow you the rest of my life. If you are here today, and that's your heart desire, speak with Pastor Buffour. after the service. He'll give you a Bible. You can even stay for our connections group and hear more about this walk of faith, this walk of grace. And if you're listening, contact me. And I'd be happy to encourage you on that walk as well. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the story of Enoch. Thank you that he walked with you and you snatched him into your presence. Father, help us to walk with you just as he did. And one day, for those who trust you completely, who've changed their direction, those who seek you diligently, who walk by your grace, whether it's through our last breath or at the second coming of Jesus, we will also be snatched into your presence. And Father, if there's anyone who's given his or her life to Jesus today, we pray that you will welcome them into your family. And may all of heaven, including that great cloud of witnesses, rejoice, even as we rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.